The good news of the gospel is something deeper than anything that the world can offer. That's what John the Baptist is helping all those in the crowd to figure out and to discern. So it's interesting that the gospel describes that what John is preaching is received as good news. What's he basically telling them to do? He's telling tax collectors, stop collecting more than what's owed, and he's telling soldiers, be satisfied with your wages. Don't be seeking anything more than what you're given. In other words, rely not on things of the world, but rely on God alone to provide for your needs. That's a message that we can all relate to. It's a message that we all struggle with, though. Like many in this crowd, we come to John the Baptist and say, what do I need to do to experience the joy of the Messiah? And that's what Advent's been helping us to see. It's been a time for us to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord by looking at those things in our life, those things on a daily basis that maybe distract us from keeping our gaze fixated on the Lord and the Lord alone. So today, as we have this Gaudete Sunday, and we rock the rose, kind of the expression for these vestments, it's the idea that the Lord is near, that the Lord is very, very close. So we're anticipating the joy of Christmas, the white, the gold, the sign of joy, with just a little bit of penitential work mixed in. Hence the red, white mixed with red gives us this rose color. And so it's this sign that we are expecting the Lord and that we're continuing to rejoice and to dwell in the good news. But that good news sometimes requires something of us. So as John the Baptist is preaching to the crowds and exhorting them to follow virtue, those habits, those things that we have to resolve to do and perform each and every day, habitual dispositions that help us to know and to do the good, which is God, that's how these crowds find the good news, how these tax collectors, these soldiers, and all of those who are traditionally, at least in those days, traditionally deemed not worthy of the gospel, get to rejoice in what Christ offers. So John the Baptist's words for us are an exhortation to continue to practice virtue, to look very seriously at those things that we do each day and to ask ourselves, how and where does this lead me closer to Christ? Or if there's something that we can answer that say, I don't know how this leads me closer to Christ, perhaps we shouldn't do it. So when John speaks about the Messiah, the Christ coming and having his winnowing fan in his hand on the threshing floor, it's a very common biblical image and it's used to describe how they sifted wheat. So when they take the wheat in from the fields, it has to be sifted initially. So you take the kernels of wheat and separate it from what's called the chaff, which is something that's unusable. It's bitter. It doesn't taste very good. But the wheat, that's the good part. That's what you want. So to separate the two, what they would do is they would throw it up in the air and they'd take this shovel-like fork that had sharp edges and they would cut it through the wheat. And then the kernels would fall and the chaff would be blown away to a separate pile. So when John asks us to practice virtue, he's helping us to cut away the chaff, take away those things that keep us separated from the Lord so that the pile that's left is good, so that the pile that's left, that product that's at the end, can be used to bring good to the world, can bring the good news forth. And so that's why we have this message of rejoicing just a few days before Christmas. So this is how we truly find the best Christmas ever, is if we can separate the chaff from the wheat by preparing our hearts to receive the coming of the Lord. And when we stand in that, yes, that takes work. Yes, that hurts a little bit. Many times that refining process can be very difficult, but that's how we experience the joy of the Lord. Now the first reading from Zephaniah, we don't hear from Zephaniah very often in our lectionary cycle. But Zephaniah is a very interesting prophet, and his historical context is quite fascinating. He's preaching about 25 to 30 years before the Babylonian Empire will conquer and eradicate the nation of Israel. So he's watching the last vestiges of the Israelite Empire, the monarch, the kingdom. He's watching that, and he's watching the corruption kind of take hold and knows that something is coming, and he's calling Israel to rejoice even in that, to say, look, the Lord will purify Israel by enacting a certain punishment to separate the wheat from the chaff. The Lord will bring his winnowing fan to bear, and what will be left will be full of joy, will be full of hope. And so Israel always understood a lot of when God acts in their history, when God brings judgment or some sort of punishment upon the Israelite people, it's not because God is cruel or vindictive, it's because God is purifying his people. God is separating the wheat from the chaff so that what's left can be good, can be wholesome, can bring nutrition and life to the whole world and to the nation. So it's in this context that Zephaniah points out what Christ will do, how Christ will look when he appears. And then that's when it will say that God will then lift the judgment upon you, basically meaning that God will then take that wheat and he will bake it so that it becomes a loaf that brings life, so that it become bread for the world. It's fascinating that we get this imagery of the wheat and the chaff when Christ, when he's born in Bethlehem, you know, Bethlehem is a Hebrew word meaning house of bread. So here's the wheat that begins to rise for the world. Here's the good news that begins to come forth, the good news that we are invited to participate in. So with just a few days left of Advent, we need to heed the Baptist's advice. Heed John's words and begin to practice those things called virtues that help us know and to see and to recognize the Lord in our midst. We need to place ourselves through the process of winnowing so that the wheat and the chaff can be separated spiritually, internally, and perhaps even physically within us and for us, so that the joy of Christ's coming, the joy of his birth into our world can fill us with true joy.